Kelly tells the New York Times he witnessed behavior that leads him to believe that if Mr. Trump is elected again, he'll rule like a, quote, dictator. A Trump campaign spokesperson is dismissing the interview. He tells the Times Kelly beclowned himself. Correspondent Jared Hill is on the campaign trail.
We're going to win North Carolina.
Former President Donald Trump was back in the Tar Heel State Tuesday for the second day in a row, slamming Vice President Kamala Harris.
She's totally unfit for office.
And the retired generals who served in his administration.
What a stupid group of people they were. Mattis, Milley.
Harris traded the campaign stage for sit-down interviews, telling NBC News she won't compromise on abortion rights.
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
Serious problems with a seriously popular hamburger.
This is the Quarter Pounder with cheese.
The CDC says more than four dozen E. coli infections and at least one death are linked to McDonald's burger, some tied to slivered onions on top. Darren Detweiler's son died after an E. coli outbreak at a Jack in the Box in the 90s.
You have to be doing testing. You have to be doing proper refrigeration and proper prevention of cross-contamination and proper testing to make sure that these things don't happen because they don't cook the onions.
Quarter pounders have been taken off menus in 10 states. A possible vaccine against the most common cause of gastroenteritis. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
The norovirus sickens nearly 700 million people worldwide each year, kills 200,000 and costs countries billions in healthcare.
The aim of this trial and this part of the work is to find a vaccine that protects those most at risk.
Professor Saul Faust says the phase three trials will mostly involve volunteers in half a dozen countries over the next 2 years.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg announced a record $50 million fine against American Airlines this morning over the way it's treated passengers with disabilities.
Between 2019 and 2023, the airline provided unsafe and undignified physical assistance to passengers on a number of occasions.
A scare on a packed Delta flight about to take off from Boston for Rome. Passengers braced when a fire broke out in an engine.
You heard a big boom. It sounded almost like a tire blow. And then the flame. You saw the flame.
The plane returned to the gate. No injuries reported. S&P futures are down 15. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It was a short flight from Madison to Milwaukee, then on to Racine for Tim Walz. The vice presidential candidate held a rally last night at Racine's Memorial Hall, joined on stage by the mayor, the state assembly rep, and the Democratic candidate for the 1st Congressional District. After Neubauer, Mason, and Barca were done, supporters waited for about an hour for Walz. He gave his campaign speech while all speakers urged people to vote early. That included Mayor Corey Mason.
So I want to encourage everybody to go to the website. It's called voteracine.org. It has all the early voting hours that we have in the city of Racine, because when we vote,
campaigning in the area continues tomorrow when second gentleman Doug Emhoff comes to Kenosha. Details about his appearance haven't been released. Both Racine and Kenosha saw big numbers, and across the state, early voting led to a glitch. All votes were counted. However, an unexpected surge in early voting caused the state's election system to lag yesterday. The Wisconsin Elections Commission acknowledged problems with the My Vote online system, leading some communities to resort to hand-counting votes temporarily. Despite the setback, the commission says the issue has been fixed and voters can be confident that their ballots will be accurately processed. Places to live in Pleasant Prairie are increasing. A new 710-unit apartment complex called Inspire Prairie Springs has gotten approval from the Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission. The development will be located on 66 acres of vacant land next to the outlet mall. The project is scheduled to break ground in spring and be fully completed by 2028. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Badgers brace for Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers host Penn State Saturday night. the number 3 ranked team in the nation. Quarterback Braden Locke asked, does it help that they've played top ranked teams like USC or Alabama already this season?
To be out there against a very talented Alabama team, to be out there against a very talented USC team, I think it's helped our team grow. I think it's helped us mature. You know, I'm growing each and every week. I'm not naive to think that I'm not still, you know, young. I think I've had 7 or 8 starts. So I think you learn and you grow each and every week.
NBA, the Bucks in Philly tonight against the 76ers. Torian Prince asked if the Bucks are ready to kick off the season.
I feel like we're ready. Obviously, having experience in the game and knowing that those are going to come, staying level-headed, taking advantage of the highs, and then when things do get lower, adversity hits, being able to weather the storm as fast as possible.
That's the Bucks' new forward, Torian Prince. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon with wind northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 37. Tomorrow, sunny 62 with a chance of a shower or thundershower tomorrow night. After that, a sunny, pleasant fall weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
I don't have that many childhood memories, and I think because my mother told me she was rocking me when I was a little baby, and we went over backwards. And I thought, how fast do you have to be rocking a baby to, how is that soothing for either of us? She says she held my head. I don't think she did. And she has no memory either. I think we both hit our heads. I'm not sure. My parents were obsessed with celebrities. And so, hi, here I am. Yeah, they really made it known that celebrities were something. And I remember Charlton Heston came to town, and I was 4 years old, and everybody was crowding around trying to get a good look at Charlton Heston. And my dad put me on his shoulders to get a better look at him, because you know how four-year-olds love Charlton Heston. He was using me as bait, hoping that Charlton would go, oh, a cute little girl, and come over, you know? Because people do that to me. If I'm out somewhere and people have a baby, they'll hold it out towards me, like for me to hold it. And I'm like, this is cashmere, no.
All right, we're going to have some fun now. The show's always fun. We're going to have some haunted fun right now. Rory Graves is here, author of the book Haunted Racine. Now, I got to meet Rory at the Racine Public Library. They had Local Authors Day. And we have a lot of local authors in this town.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you just come on. You say what you got to say. Just interrupt me. I don't care. I talk all the time. I like to listen occasionally, and I like to listen to you.
You got it.
Got to meet a whole bunch of local authors, including Rory. And I thought, well, this would be great to bring her in this time of year because people always get a little spooky around the end of October. And the weather today is great. The leaves are blowing outside. And
it's a perfect fall day.
I think I saw some two eyes looking at us when I let you in the building. I think I saw them in the bushes. Two eyeballs.
It was pretty dark out there.
I know. Kind of spooky. And, of course, trick-or-treating. And, you know, I always thought that if you believe in spooks and ghosts on Halloween, how do you know who's real and who's in a costume? I mean,
there have been enough horror anthologies to teach me. I don't know.
What do you have a favorite haunted movie? And I'll tell you what mine is because it scares me every time I see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite one?
Definitely 13 Ghosts.
See, I saw that. Now, I hate to tell you my age, but I saw that in the theater when you had to have special glasses to see it.
We got those in our little DVD copy.
Okay, you got those.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to watch it in the theater, and there was a note on the screen when the actor put on his glasses, but he had big, we put on our cart, we just held the cardboard glass in front of our eyes. It was red and green, and you got to see the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't use it, you can kind of see the ghosts on the screen, but you got to see them in all its glory on the screen. 13 ghosts, not the remake, you're talking about the original.
I am talking about the original.
With Martin Milner.
Yep. William Castle.
Yeah, William Castle's. They made that horrible remake of it. It was just terrible.
I think it's so fun, but it is not the same.
No, it's they did the same thing with The House on Haunted Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The original with Vincent Price was so good. I've watched it a million times, never get tired of seeing it. Then they made the one with Liam Neeson. Was it Liam Neeson?
I don't actually know.
Okay, then they made in 1963, Robert Wise made two movies. He made West Side Story and The Sound of Music in the early 60s. In mm-hmm. between those, he made a movie called The Haunting with Julie Harris.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen it all the way through, but I've seen a lot of it.
No, you gotta.
I know.
There's no blood, there's no guts, there's no stabbings, there's no slashing. It's just psychological terror.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Wise knows how to do it. I can't believe he made that between West Side Story and The Sound of Music.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a departure.
Let's talk about Racine. Is Racine really haunted? Are there haunted venues here and we should know about?
We actually have a lot here in Racine. I would say, well, I've talked to paranormal investigators before, and they've said it might have something to do with our lake being sort of a conduit for the spirits, being here on the shores of Lake Michigan. But I wrote an entire book about all of the different haunted locations, just the ones I had enough material to write on, not to say anything of dozens of others that I wasn't able to gain enough material for.
Okay, we're going to get to those in just a moment. I want to find out what made you go down this road of things being haunted and spooky. A lot of people try to avoid that stuff in their life because they don't want to have nightmares at night. But you went right for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up on William Castle and Vincent Price, and I've kind of always had this interest in the macabre. And it was actually a third grade history unit at Jefferson Lighthouse School that made me get into history and haunted history. We did a local unit on Racine's history, and one of the locations that we got to visit on a field trip was Mound Cemetery.
Ooh, cemeteries.
Oh, it is a gorgeous cemetery, too. It's still, I've visited so many, and it stands out as one of the most beautiful. But a lot of Racine's founders were buried there, and I decided I wanted to do my final project on Mound Cemetery, and so I went to the cemetery with my mother, a Polaroid camera, and I dressed up as the Grim Reaper and took pictures in front of all of the famous Racine graves and then made a little tour book out of it.
You lucky people that weren't there visiting somebody at night and say you're walking around as the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, no.
It's enough to give you a heart attack.
We lucked out. I was like a 4 foot tall Grim Reaper, though. Not very intimidating.
Who knows how tall the Grim Reaper is? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm 6'3". I would make a, I don't know if this Grim Reaper's so tall. We stayed at, back when my daughter was real little, I took her up to the Dells. We stayed at the Inn of the Dells, which has now been through a lot of name changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Inn of the Dells. And right up abutted the hotel was a cemetery. And our room was facing the cemetery. And I made sure I got up in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
To look at it, yeah, to look, see if I could see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking around. I've never been in the cemetery at night, and I wanted to walk around, see if I could see anything out there. Walking around, and I didn't see anything. But my daughter, she got up with me, and we're looking out the window. You see anything? Oh, what's that over there? And who? Gee, where?
Oh my goodness!
But it was kind of fun looking around. I don't know. Have you ever seen cemeteries? Are they haunted at all?
I mean, I think so.
I mean, there's, you got a lot of dead bodies
so many
in there. Yeah,
there.
You got dead people in there.
Even if some are at rest, some statistically probably aren't.
Do you know? You know? Ever hear the phrase "Saved by the Bell"?
Yes.
You know where that comes from?
Yeah, Victorian grave inventions.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah, I actually almost did a presentation at the Civil War Museum on that. In the Victorian era, people were very afraid. Actually, it predates the Victorian era. That's just really when the craze went all out. But people were afraid of being buried alive. And so it wasn't as common as we think, but occasionally they had bells above the graves when they were freshly dug. That would have a string that went down into the coffin. So if the person was still alive and woke up in the coffin, they could ring the bell and be saved.
Oh, the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a movie called The Premature Burial with Ray Milland, where he was so worried about being buried alive, he built all these fail safes in the coffin. But what he didn't count on was he became alive again, or we woke up decades later. So everything he wanted to use to get was rotted by that point. He couldn't get out of the mausoleum.
Oh, that is a scary one.
Yeah, he had a rope to come down to the ceiling, but it turned to dust. He had a special drill to push the door open of the mausoleum, but it was so old, it just broke into pieces. And finally, he was going to drink poison to kill himself, and it was just a cup of worms at the end.
Oh.
And he was stuck alive in the mausoleum.
Oh.
He couldn't get out.
That would probably be my worst nightmare.
All right, talk about another place in Racine which is scary and haunted.
Depends on what you want to hear about. One of my favorites is the Bell City Opera House. You're familiar with downtown Racine, of course. Mm-hmm. On 6th Street, the old YMCA Red Cross drug building.
Yeah.
There used to be another building there prior that was built in 1882 called the Bell City Opera House. It was a gorgeous theater. It lasted about 2 years. Racine's founders went and pulled money together to get Racine this beautiful theater, constructed it, and then in 1884, in the middle of December, it burned down to the ground. And it was right after a very packed performance that a Chicago company or a New York opera company was putting on. And it was not just the opera house that was located in that building, but also a hotel. And above the hotel, the servants' quarters for everybody who lived on premise and worked at the hotel. And around midnight, there was this large explosion that everyone heard. It rocked the building and people started panicking. Crazy enough, a lot of the people did end up making it out of the building, but it wasn't until an hour later, around 1 a.m., that the fire alarm was sounded. And this was devastating because everything back in those days was incredibly flammable. There was the curtains, the facade of the building, the fact that it was wood frame on the inside.
Yeah, it was all everything made of wood, yeah.
Yeah, so it stood no chance. But one of the worst things was almost immediately the roof started collapsing. So the fourth floor where all of the servants lived was cut off very quickly. The only casualties in this fire actually were one servant, Mrs. S.A. Patricks. We do not know anything else about her except that she died in the fire. And two of the actors from the opera company. Mrs. Glover, she was a fine New York lady, and she did not want to leave the hotel in her nightclothes. So she tried to stay behind and get dressed, and her husband, Mr. Glover, stayed with her. But they were both found the next day in the ruins, clutching each other, which, very, very creepy. And it's insane that a building that large, only three people died in such a catastrophic fire. They deemed the entire building a complete loss. And about a year later, the Racine YMCA decided we'll build on that land. And they built the building that is still there. They call it the Old Stone Building. The YMCA was there for a few years before it grew to be too big to fit in the building. They sold it to the Knights of Pythias, thank you. I can never get that one right. And they rented out to a bunch of other people. And that's where the Red Cross Drug Company came in. Some of the other renters included little shops and things like that. And now, when I wrote the book, they had Roberta's Long Shot Vinyl, Perennial Soap, the Over Our Head Players, and Social on 6th. We're all occupying the storefronts down there.
Oh, I know where it is. I know exactly where it is because I just went to the overhead, the 6th Street Theater.
Yeah, yeah, and they just got a remodel too.
Oh, that's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
One of the Over Our Head Players, Joan Rory, who also owns Social on 6th, was one of the people I got to interview for my book. And she said, the second I got there, I was asking everyone, is this building haunted? And all of the actors were like, yeah, yeah, it's definitely haunted. And she's like, what have you seen? They're like whispers around the building, you know, just normal. I thought I heard something. I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. But she was going down into the basement where the prop room is one day, and the craziest thing happened. She was about halfway down the stairs when she just felt this large backdraft behind her and heard what she thought was the shattering of a ton of windows just all around her, and it sounded like things were crashing. She wasn't even down the stairs yet, and then it was over. And she was like, what the heck is all of that about? She was just kind of in shock, so she went down to the basement, and she heard one of the other actors shout, like, hey, is everything okay down there? Nothing was out of place. Not one prop had fallen off of one of the shelves. No windows, no glass, no mirrors were broken. And she said after she had had that experience, she was thinking about it, and she thought maybe that was kind of an echo of the fire that had happened when that backdraft, oftentimes when buildings heat up and all the windows blow out. And she said after that, she knew 100% this building's haunted.
I was just there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
See anything of your own?
No, but it's a good thing I didn't know that before I walked in. Rory Graves is here. She wrote the book Haunted Racine. More coming up in just a moment.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking for something new to watch? Who isn't? Here's one of Pete's picks. If you don't have Netflix, don't feel bad. It's really expensive. But if you do have it, check out The Lincoln Lawyer. Season 3 just dropped last weekend. Manuel Garcia Rufo plays the title character and, in my opinion, is even more captivating than Matthew McConaughey's portrayal from the movie. The show is well-produced and acted, and you can't beat the source material. The Lincoln Lawyer is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. The third installment of the Dune franchise is dropping hints about the new film. Dune Messiah will be set 12 years after the end of Dune 2. Timothée Chalamet has not been officially announced as part of the cast, but is expected to be in the film. Other cast members will include Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken, and Austin Butler. Aging Timothée Chalamet 12 years? I see a Best Makeup Oscar headed their way. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete with me every morning at a quarter after 6, 7, and 8. And you can hear him every weeknight, 6 until 8 o'clock on WAUK AM 540.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Racine Civic Center and the Legends Never Die Concert Series welcome Pure Soul Presents Friday, November 8th at Memorial Hall. It's time to party. Are you ready? Pure Soul Presents is a tribute to 60s Motown and 70s Soul, the music that defined a generation. So good! So good! Pure Soul Presents proves that rhythm and romance never go out of style. Tickets for Pure Soul Presents Friday, November 8th at Memorial Hall are on sale now at the events page of festivalpark.com.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Transform your office with B&L Office Furniture, your go-to for premium workspace solutions. Create the perfect impression with seating options that suit every space, style, and budget. Ergonomic chairs for enhanced productivity. Sleek lobby seating that reflects your company's branding. Comfy couches for the employee lounge. The possibilities are endless. Whether it's new or refurbished, the dedicated, friendly, and experienced staff at B&L Office Furniture has you covered. Stop by today on 52nd Street in Kenosha, just east of Green Bay Road.
Game time. Is your home's defense ready for the fall season? Gutter helmets from Hardy and Jensen provide a winning season of protection. This solid defensive line keeps leaves, twigs, and debris out. No more risky climbs up a ladder. Keep your loved ones safe. No gimmicks, no ladders, no more gutter cleaning. Visit the showroom on Highway 20 in Racine, just west of Green Bay Road. With the pros at Hardy and Jensen, your house always wins.
Hardy and Jensen, that's where you go.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Bowman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN. It's 7:26. It's time for You Know Who. Here's Paul Harvey.
Best of the story. 24 centuries ago, a young woman was having her baby. Actually, she was in labor. We have to fill in some of the blanks. We have to imagine that her labor pains were unusually severe. For indeed, her family did seek the emergency advice of a renowned physician. The doctor reminded the family that nature had taken most of the matter beyond their influence. Childbirth, after all, was a painful process. But there was one thing that he could suggest, the willow treatment. Whoever this imminently expectant mother was, for history has long since forgotten her name, whoever else she was a first. Because following this distinguished doctor's prescription, and we do know his name, following his prescription, she began chewing on willow tree bark. And to a surprising extent, her labor pains were alleviated. As we all know, no other physician had ever prescribed willow bark for that purpose. But he would not be the last. For he was assured the rapt attention of posterity. For he, her doctor, was the father of medicine, Hippocrates. It is said that Hippocrates could even cause fevers to subside by making his patients chew willow bark. For hundreds of years, each generation of physicians included the bark of the willow tree among their myriad nostrums. I don't know why they ever stopped using it. Perhaps the gradual intrusion of scientific method into the world of medicine, but in any event, the willow treatment slowly fell by the wayside until the mid-18th century. The Reverend Edward Stone was just that, a reverend. He was no physician. He was a brilliant man. His intellect was ever seeking to satisfy his incessant curiosity, and it was he who revived the ancient willow treatment, only this time, for the first time, statistics supported his suspicions. In 1763, the Reverend Stone revealed to the prestigious Royal Society of Britain that he had been experimenting with willow bark, that he had treated 50 cases of ague and intermittent disorders. Now, ague in these instances probably was rheumatic fever, but that's what he called it at that time. At any rate, the Reverend Stone reported that the effects of the willow bark had been uniformly salutary, and for the first time in a long time, the entire medical community was standing in the shade of the old willow tree. Never again would doctors doubt the effectiveness of the willow treatment. Although, and this is very significant, not until 1971, that's just a little more than a decade ago, did anybody have the vaguest idea why the active ingredient in willow bark relieves pain. That's right. We just discovered its secret in 1971. Until then, the whole world took for granted and accepted empirically the worth of willow as described 2,400 years ago. Yes, it really does subdue fever. Yes, it really does relieve discomfort. What the great Hippocrates was actually prescribing for pain was the active ingredient in willow bark, which is aspirin. And now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, to learn more about if your business could be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey. And the rest of the story, 7:30, right on the nose. Here's the news. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It was a short flight from Madison to Milwaukee, then on to Racine for Tim Walz. The vice presidential candidate held a rally last night at Racine's Memorial Hall, joined on stage by the mayor, the state assembly rep, and the Democratic candidate for the 1st Congressional District. After Neubauer, Mason, and Barca were done, supporters waited for about an hour for Walz. He gave his campaign speech while all speakers urged people to vote early. That included Mayor Corey Mason.
So I want to encourage everybody to go to the website. It's called voteracine.org. It has all the early voting hours that we have in the city of Racine. Because when we vote...
The campaigning in the area continues tomorrow when second gentleman Doug Emhoff comes to Kenosha. Details about his appearance haven't been released. Both Racine and Kenosha saw big numbers, and across the state, early voting led to a glitch. All votes were counted. However, an unexpected surge in early voting caused the state's election system to lag yesterday. The Wisconsin Elections Commission acknowledged problems with the My Vote online system, leading some communities to resort to hand-counting votes temporarily. Despite the setback, the commission says the issue has been fixed and voters can be confident that their ballots will be accurately processed. Places to live in Pleasant Prairie are increasing. A new 710-unit apartment complex called Inspire Prairie Springs has gotten approval from the Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission. The development will be located on 66 acres of vacant land next to the outlet mall. The project is scheduled to break ground in spring and be fully completed by 2028. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Dogs and Cream in Racine. They have the hot dog game on lock. Whether you want a Chicago dog, a pretzel dog, or any other gourmet frank, it's happiness on a bun. Made to order, ensuring each bite is delectable perfection. And save room for that velvety custard that'll melt your troubles away. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $20 worth of gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Wisconsin's soybean harvest is a month ahead of its normal time frame, and the corn for grain harvest is 2 weeks ahead of schedule. This is according to the latest crop progress report from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday morning. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing says the surprising speed of this year's harvest has surprising price action to match. He says strong prices in the front end of the market, such as a $4 base for December corn, are not typical in these bigger supply years.
We've been just seeing this market really price in some strength in the front months, which is not typical for a heavy supply year. And you go look at where we're at with those carryout numbers and things of that nature. The supply is here this year overall. But we're really seeing some good strength in the front month in terms of December corn as well as November soybeans. And that's probably tied to what's happening here with the harvest.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says there are a few more reasons that we are seeing some price support for the December contracts. One of the reasons is that farmers are holding on to grain waiting for a better price. River levels are low, preventing an adequate amount of grain from going down to the Gulf, and exporters are looking for that grain. Stick around for a look at this morning's commodity prices.
Whether you're in the market to buy or sell, count on Steffes Group for any and all of your equipment this harvest season. Thinking about retirement or a career change? Steffes Group can support your next steps with reliable auction services. Visit steffesgroup.com today to see a full list of upcoming auctions in your area or nationwide, or to contact your local representative. That's steffesgroup.com.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Wednesday from Chicago, cash and new crop corn is trading up a quarter of a cent at 4.16¾, and cash and new crop soybeans are down a penny and a half at 9.90¼. Cash wheat is down 2 cents at 5.74 a bushel. July 2025 new crop wheat is down 2.5 cents, trading at 6.10¼. The Class 3 milk contracts are coming back up after having a negative day yesterday. The November contract is up 10 cents at 20.45 a hundredweight, and the December contract is up 21 cents at 2065. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon with wind northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 37. Tomorrow, sunny 62 with a chance of a shower or thundershower tomorrow night. After that, a sunny, pleasant fall weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Give you an idea how awkward I am at parties. This is a true story. I'm at one, and there's a guy there whose name I should know, but I don't know it. But I keep thinking it's Winston. You know, which is not the kind of name you want to gamble at. So this is true. I grabbed another friend of mine at the party, and I said, I have a weird assignment for you. I want you to, just for a second, pretend like your name is Winston. All right, you see that guy there? I want you to walk to the other side of that guy, but in a straight line past him. So I'm just looking in one direction, and then I'm going to go, hey, Winston! And if the guy in the middle goes, yeah, then you just walk away. Your assignment is complete at that point. But if the guy in the middle looks like he's confused, I need you to go, yeah? And then I'll talk to you again, I guess. So my friend thinks I'm twisty, and he's like, all right, let's do this. He walks to the other side of the guy, so I go, hey, Winston. And the guy in the middle looks like he's confused. So I look at my friend, and he says, my name's Winston. Wow, terrific. I was looking for any random Winston. Your name's Winston? Come on over, let's have a chat. I'm in the mood to talk to a Winston. I had one line and he blew it. His line was, yeah.
Your name Winston?
It is not. See, I would have done the same thing, though.
See, if I can't remember your name at a party, I'll yell, Rory! And see if you turn around.
My name is Rory.
And see, that's one of those names, too. It's tough to gamble on because it's like Bob or something. It's a distinct name. That's good. We're going to get to another story here in a second. I started to tell you about, we talked about Mound Cemetery during the break there. And you, let me tell you who I'm talking to. First of all, Rory Graves wrote the book Haunted Racine. We heard the first story, which was really got me goose pimply. It took place on 6th Street, where the 6th Street Theater is right now. It used to be the YMCA, and it was a burned down hotel. And it's a whole great story. You have to read the book to get it, because if you missed it, you missed it. Anyway, you'll get there. We'll tell you how to get the book. But anyway, we were talking about Mound Cemetery, and we talked about there's a grave there from the guy who used to give tours, and his mother's grave is there with a bingo card on the back.
Yep, I know the exact one.
And this is why the bingo card's on the back. She was a big bingo player, and she was winning. People know how to play bingo. At the end, if you fill up the whole card, you get a special bonus and whatever it is. She was one away, like I-26 or whatever it was, I-26. Somebody yelled bingo before her. She took her marker and slammed it down. You know those ink things that people use?
Yeah, the ink blotters.
Splattered red ink all over everybody. And she never forgot that she lost on that day. So on the back of her tombstone, it's got a bingo card with the words, In Search of I-26.
Wow. What a story.
Because she never got it on that day. There's some other things. Every member of the family got to put something on her gravestone. And there's all those stories like that, but that's a good one. All right, so we're talking about Haunted Racine. Give us another one that's going to give me chills.
Familiar with Regency Mall?
Oh, yeah. Well, the former Regency Mall. Yeah. Yeah.
Truly. Woodman's is coming. Everyone's excited about that. But formerly, that site was actually where the Racine County Insane Asylum was. Most people in recent memory probably know it as High Ridge, but prior to that, there was an older building. It was built in 1889, but it was already in disrepair by 1910. So it did not last very long as a nice place for people to go, as so few asylums were at that point in time. But in the 1900s, just at the beginning, they had their insane asylum, and then they also decided to build a poor farm, which sounds horrific, and my opinion is, but it's where people with no work were sent. So just the poor people of the county sent to this place, kind of like a public assistance, but they would actually farm the land around it, and they were built side by side. They had a cemetery on site for any of the unclaimed bodies. And in 1910, it was brought up in a bunch of newspaper articles, Racine Advocate, the Journal Times, Daily News, that this cemetery was just appallingly kept. It was overgrown. There were snakes. There weren't tombstones for half of the people. Not wooden, not markers, nothing. And so they said they were going to make it better, and they did for a little while, but that was the least of the asylum's problems at the time. By the 1940s, they got into hot water over not taking care of their patients enough. 1950s, a rather famous guy said, "Hey, this place is like a dungeon. It's horrible. I cannot believe you let people live here." And then by the 1970s, when it was High Ridge, the employees actually went on strike because of how bad the conditions were. They were like, "We cannot work here if this is how people are being treated." And it was around then that it ended up finally closing, but that cemetery was still there. And they thought they were going to move the bodies, but what they actually ended up doing was plowing over it. And now you have Pritchard Park, or not Pritchard Park, my bad. The park right next to the cemetery, or right next to Target.
It's Pritchard Park.
Yeah, Pritchard. Yeah. But also on that same exact site, because a poor farm and an insane asylum aren't enough, I believe it was 40s or 60s, there was a tuberculosis sanatorium that closed down. And it opened up in the early 1900s, where people would go to be treated for TB, which was really prevalent in the county at that time. And hundreds of people died from it because there's not much they had to treat it at the time. So those two places were where Regency Mall stands right now.
Well, the Pauper Cemetery is there. My wife and I visited the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
There's not gravestones there. There's a marker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between, right, where Target is and Pritchard Park. And they it's a cemetery. You can't take it away and put a water slide there.
No.
So it's just there. And a lot, people don't know when you drive by. There's not a sign. But this was the Pauper Cemetery.
Yep. And it was poor people or people who had mental disabilities were just cast off there for a long time. After High Ridge was built and then torn down, the old Kmart that is now Spirit Halloween, funny enough, they thought while they were building it, a couple people had a rumor that the reason the walls kept falling in when they were trying to build it is because the ghosts were mad that they were trying to build right there. That pond that also exists in front of the old Kmart, the Home Depot area, is the same pond that was there when the asylum was built. So that's been there forever.
Now that you mention it, I did hear about the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear about it. Now that you mention it, it's all coming back to me. Yeah, that pond was there. Yeah.
Yeah. The pond has a much more charming history. They used to call it the duck pond because ducks lived there all the time and people would come by and throw bread. But apparently this whole entire site is very haunted. Not only do Regency Mall employees cite things falling over, weird music playing when nothing's going on. There's also the Kmart employees. Ron Helmick, who was on your show last week, was one of the former employees there who heard Christmas music after the entire store was already shut down and the music's turned off. Things would fly off shelves. The carts would occasionally just roll away on their own. More recently, a medium was going by the building at night when she said she saw a woman standing in the, I forget which store it was, but one of the storefronts, not Kmart specifically, who looked like she was in a hospital gown, just staring out at her with her hand on the window. And one of the craziest stories is actually from across the street from Regency Mall, where Lone Star used to be. Now, Texas Roadhouse at this point. But apparently, in the early 2000s, an employee died.
Buffalo Wild Wings is there now.
Across the street from the...
Yeah, where Lone Star used to be is Buffalo Wild Wings. And there is a Texas Roadhouse a little further down, yeah.
Man, it's crazy.
I want to get our ghosts straight. That's all.
Yeah,
I want to go there and I see them.
I appreciate it.
No, go ahead.
It's been so long since it stood.
Go ahead, yeah.
But one of the employees died in a car crash, and she had a specific server number in the computer. And even after they took her out, her server number would continue to show up every so often after hours, like she was taking orders for a table.
So this is recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That very recent. And they contacted corporate and said, hey, this person's name continues to be coming up in the system for like a drink at the bar, for just like one or two items at the tables. And corporate said, we've taken it out of the system. We have no idea what you're talking about. And up until it was torn down, just every once in a while, another order would go through under her name. And I don't know, that one gives me the chills.
They all give me
the
chills.
Someone you knew.
Yeah. Wow. All right, so that's, all these are right around this area. I mean, we're right down the block from all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that Pauper Cemetery is right here. The old Kmart is right down the block from us here, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Hold on, we're talking to Rory Graves, author of Haunted Racine. We'll tell you how you get the book and everything coming up in just a moment. All right? Yeah, see, your coffee is shaking in your hand this morning. 747 WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false three different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you, but they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
The Racine Civic Center and the Legends Never Die Concert Series welcome Fleetwood Mac Tribute Act Secondhand News. Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall. Your spot on recreations of the Rumors era when Fleetwood Mac ruled the airwaves. Tickets for Secondhand News Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall are on sale now at the events page of festivalpark.com.
Just who is Peter Barca? Barca is a career politician we simply can't trust. We can't trust him to protect law enforcement because Barca raised money for an anti-police group that called our officers occupying soldiers. Can't trust Barca on the border either. He voted to support sanctuary cities putting violent criminals before our families. And while fentanyl floods our streets, Barca chose radical politics over our safety. Our veterans can't trust Peter Barca. He voted to cut the benefits they earned and deserve, endangering our families and communities, dishonoring our veterans. We just can't trust a career politician like Peter Barca.
I'm Brian Style. I'm working to support families, stand with law enforcement, and honor our veterans. Families are struggling to afford the things that they need. That's why I'm working to lower costs and stop wasteful spending. I'm Brian Style, and I approve this message because together we will get our country back on track.
Paid for by Style for Wisconsin.
Rory Graves is with me. We're talking about Haunted Racine. What's on the cover of the book, by the way?
This one is actually a photograph of Winslow Elementary School.
You have a different one than I do? Oh, no, you have a sticker on it. Okay. I've got to
keep it straight at signings.
Okay, good. So that's what? Winslow?
Winslow Elementary School. It's actually right next to the former St. Luke's Hospital on Wisconsin Avenue, right behind that whole hospital. It's since closed down, no longer used as an elementary school. RUSD still owns the property, but that school was actually built on Racine's first cemetery.
Oh, great.
Right over the top.
So look at this. I'm getting scared thinking about this. Before we do that, I want to make sure people can get this book. It's sold everywhere. Amazon, you said Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm. Also, Racine Heritage Museum and Racine Art Museum are selling it.
So you can get this anywhere. Oh, yeah. So the story behind this, is there a haunted story behind that being built on a cemetery? It's just a horrible... It's like the movie Poltergeist when they built the neighborhood on the cemetery.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said when I found out about that. They had the first cemetery. It was there maybe 10, 15 years before they decided we need a new school. And it was a very nice central location. So they said, we'll just move the bodies. Some of them went to Mound Cemetery. Some of them went to a very nearby cemetery, Evergreen, which was up against the lake. And they did not remove all the bodies. They found that one out real quick.
This is like Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. Children would find in the schoolyard just bones every so often.
Oh, my goodness.
One of those old-fashioned wells where you would pump the water. They used to call it skeleton juice because it came out of the ground with all the skeletons. Local homes nearby have found bones every so often.
Oh my goodness, this is terrible.
But they said while it was open, the school was haunted. A couple teachers talked to me and shared their experiences, as well as there's a bunch of houses right around that area that also are haunted. And I kind of wonder if it doesn't have something to do with that old cemetery, which used to be there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So this is where now? Now, the building's gone, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's there now in its spot?
The building actually is still there.
Oh, it's still there.
But it's not in use anymore.
And it's on Wisconsin Avenue?
Wisconsin Avenue is where the hospital is. It is right behind the hospital.
Oh, I know. Is it? Oh, yeah.
There used to be a little wooden playground there.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know exactly where it is. Yeah, this is, I pass it on the way to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When I come
Me
down.
Me too.
It's on 14th Street and Wisconsin Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the hospital, the All Saints is. So they have a couple of letters out on the neon sign. That's how I remember where it is. So, and the school is where now and associated with that?
The school doesn't exist anymore at all.
But the building's there.
Yeah, is there.
The building is where, if I'm standing in front of the hospital, where is the building?
If you're standing in front of the hospital, if you walk one block west, right from the lake, behind it, it's right behind it.
I pass that every day, probably. Yeah. And they don't even know it.
There's a large parking lot that kind of makes up most of the one that butts against 14th Street. So the school is a little bit set back from the road.
And they still found bones. Didn't they bury these people in, I guess the coffins can rot after so many years.
Wooden coffins. They don't stand the test of time.
Oh, this is a horrible. Is it the story in the book?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
My whole entire section, Legends of the Lakefront, focuses on homes around that area and homes around the old Evergreen Cemetery, which
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
A mile away.
The book is divided into four sections: Haunted Downtown, Legends of the Lakefront, Southridge Sanitariums. Oh, great. And other, what's that? Other.
Racine County Frights.
Racine County Frights. Other Frights of Racine County. Whoa. That is spooky. That's like the movie The Burbs, when the dog comes back with a big femur bone in his mouth. And Rick Dukeman says, wait a second, this isn't a chicken bone. This is a femur, says to Tom Hanks in The Burbs. He's got this giant bone in his mouth from the neighbors who are killing people. That's the best story yet.
Yeah,
because people found bones.
Mm-hmm. Funny enough.
And what they call the well? Skeleton well?
Skeleton juice.
Skeleton juice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a quick story? You have a quick one?
Yeah.
Give us a quickie.
The Evergreen Cemetery, which was about a mile away, they also had a very similar situation where they did not dig up all the bodies when they decided to remove it.
Ugh.
Right next to the sewage plant, where it currently is on the lake. And twice during the construction of a home in Wind Point, they used sand from the water treatment plant, brought it over to Wind Point, dumped it out to start making the foundation for the house, and they found bones. One was in 1989. They found, I believe it was part of a skull and a pelvis and some other miscellaneous bones. Called the police department. These bones are super old. They figured out it was from Evergreen. But again, same house in 2017 decided to widen their driveway. They found bones again.
This is just recently.
Yep. That is probably the most recent historic thing that's happened in this book.
That's somebody's loved one.
Mm-hmm. And
what do they do with the bones when they find them?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's somebody's loved one they're talking about.
Yeah. The Racine College Boys School was right across the street from that cemetery. When they found bones, they would burn them sometimes, which baffled me when I found that out. Just, don't know what to do with somebody's loved one. We'll just burn the remains, which is crazy.
And they have no idea who it belongs to.
No, at that point.
Are there any records of the cemetery?
Those all burned up in the blaze of 1882.
This is a movie. This is amazing.
Racine's history is insane.
And this is all within walking distance of everybody's homes in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what you're walking down the block from. So where is that again, that last story? Where'd that take place?
Right next to the water treatment plant.
And where's that?
It's on Wisconsin Avenue. There's just kind of like a bluff where there's a few benches right across from the lake.
I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just south of Lake Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right there.
Well, that's where the Dekoven Center is.
It is.
And where was this building exactly?
The building? There was no building.
Yeah.
It was just the cemetery across from it.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where that is. Yeah, my mother was at Lake Oaks. I must have walked there a million times.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't know where you're walking in town.
No, that water treatment plant is just a block away down the...
And you got pictures in the book, huh?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this is must reading. I mean, this is something you've got to read. The book is called Haunted Racine, Rory Graves, the author. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, RAM, the Racine Art Museum, and the Heritage Museum in town. Let me see that.
That bottom image there has where Winslow is in relation to the hospital, too.
Man.
Yeah.
I gotta go. My wife and I like to track, you know, to do the actual tracking once we read something.
Mm-hmm.
We just read somebody else's book and we went to all the points she talked about in the book. It's just all in Racine.
Yeah.
You can do that. This is a great book. We got to have you back again.
Well, there are plenty of locations for you guys to go visit.
Aren't you going to Paracon or what's the name of that thing?
Bell City Paracon, actually.
Paracon for paranormal activity. You're into that too, huh?
Absolutely. It is going to be on November 2nd. It's a Saturday at the Danish Brotherhood. It's actually right in between Racine and Kenosha on Sheridan Road. So we're having a convention for different paranormal things. We'll have some awesome vendors there selling paranormal goodies. If you like aliens, cryptids, ghosts, any of that kind of stuff, there's going to be plenty. There will also be speakers. I'm going to be the first one in the morning. Barnaby Jones, a cryptozoologist.